This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author,
Chris Ducker.
Hello and welcome to episode number 138 of Youpreneur FM. Thank you so much for tuning in. As always, you guys are fantastic. You know I love you. You know I appreciate you. And I hope you're enjoying our two-a-week format. Two episodes every single week now coming at you. This Tuesday earlier on in the week, we talked about preparing for speaking gigs, just in case it's something that you're planning. The week before that, we talked about pre-launch strategies for your products and services. And the lovely Amy Porterfield was here last Friday. And here we are joined today by the godfather of content marketing. That's a thing, by the way. He is genuinely known as the godfather of content marketing. Mr. Joe Polizzi is in the house from the Content Marketing Institute. Talk about his new book, Content Inc., which is specifically aimed towards small business owners and entrepreneurs when it comes to learning how to truly create great content and then get it out there into the world and consumed to help build their busy businesses. Before we do that, however, I just want to say a big hello to all of our new Youpreneur community members. The community is on fire. It is hot. That kind of hot. And I'm really enjoying hanging out with you guys behind the doors there in our community. If you're not already a member, I would love to see you behind the doors there very soon on the inside. Lots of expert chit-chat videos, member spotlights, process blueprint documents to show you exactly how to take your business up to the next level. All of the Tropical Think Tank archive videos are in there as well. And we even have two live mastermind calls every single month to be able to brainstorm, get the support, and become accountable on our goals on a monthly basis. It's rocking and rolling over there, youpreneur.com. I'd love to see you on the inside. So on to my chat with Joe. This is a great one. You know, Content Inc. is Joe's latest book. It's just come out. He brings a book out every couple of years, and it's always current, it's always update, and it's always super action orientated. And this book has totally delivered as well. Prior to recording this, I had not read the book. However, I since picked it up, and it was a brilliant read. And what I loved actually was the framework that he breaks down actually on this call that's discussed right at the beginning of the book, and then you slowly start to see it unraveling throughout the pages of the actual book itself. It's a really nice read. I thoroughly suggest that you check it out. Show notes for this over at chrisducker.com/episode138. But here is the conversation with Joe Polizzi, the man in orange. You're going to find out what that means in a minute. Enjoy. So Joe, welcome back to the show.
Chris, it is always a pleasure. I just appreciate that you're having me back. So something good must have happened the first time.
Yes, something good did happen the first time around. Now, for you guys tuning in, here's a little bit of trivia for you. Obviously myself and Joe have talked since the first time I had him on the show. And actually, I also was lucky enough to be invited to present at your fantastic event last year in Cleveland as well, Joe. But we are now speaking exactly 99 episodes later. We're getting you back on the show. How does that feel?
All that means is that you know how to publish content on a consistent basis. haven't talked for a while.
I know you love that, right?
And yeah, that's, you know, at least now we know that in 99 episodes from now, I'm going to be your guest.
Yes.
That's just the way it's going to be from now on.
You realize there's going to be a scheduling.
I'm going to be counting down. I'm going to be looking at iTunes. I'm going to be counting down your episodes. I'm going to be like, Chris, it's about time.
It's about time, brother. I got another book coming out. We've done two more events. Let's go.
There probably will be another book, as crazy as that sounds.
I know, right? Well, I think let's talk about that real quick. Let's start off with that then. Because, I mean, you do have a new book that's out. It came out in September, Content Inc.,
Full disclosure, I have not, and your team has sent me a copy, but because I live in the jungle, it's not a jungle, it's a city, but because I live all the way over here in the Philippines, I have not received it yet. And I'm one of those guys that, and genuinely I mean this, when I know friends that have books, I cannot do the Kindle version of those books. I have to get the real...
You're a paper guy.
Yeah, I'm a paper guy. I need to feel it, smell it, touch it, because at some point in the future, I know I'll be hanging out with that friend and I'll have them sign it. I'm an author signature junkie. It's just one of my things. Yeah. So next time you see me, I'll have it with me, hopefully.
Hopefully you'll receive it by then.
But anyway, so Content Inc., how entrepreneurs use content to build massive audiences and create radically successful businesses. Now, I put the emphasis there on the word entrepreneurs because, you know, content marketing world, the Content Institute, you don't necessarily create content directly for entrepreneurs. You know, we're talking big agencies, big corporates are the majority of your attendees at the event and things like that. But here we are focusing on helping entrepreneurs create great content. And you've been very, you know, you bring up the subject of consistency. You've been very consistent doing what you do. Obviously, you have a big team helping you and everything. Where, what was the incubus? You know, where was the catalyst for this book right now? I mean, why now? Why focus on helping entrepreneurs?
Well, there are a couple things. First of all, I think you know that I think the last show I talked about my goal setting. I keep, you know, I have a Moleskine notebook that I keep my goals in. And one of my goals is every 2 years I'm writing a book. So I wrote a book in 09, in 11, 13 was Epic Content Marketing. That's what we talked about last time. And now it's Content Inc. The first three books, to your point, target enterprise marketers. So marketeers and big companies, that's been our focus for the entire business. This book, and I got to tell you, Chris, this is the one I'm most passionate about because this is the story I always wanted to tell.
Nice.
And it's not just, now this Content Inc. is not just a book that's going to help you create better, more consistent content. It will do that. But what I loved about this, and I didn't plan for it, Chris, I wanted to selfishly tell the story of Content Marketing Institute and how we grew with very little investment and how we used the principles of content marketing to grow and great. But then I realized, well, nobody cares about me. Nobody cares. That's a boring story. It's got to be something better than that, or right. It's not going to get anybody to read this thing. So I started to go out and do some research, and we had a team of people, went out and we did a bunch of research on entrepreneurs that built their business, that use content marketing as the business model itself.
Right.
So the whole idea behind the book is, how do you first build an audience and then monetize it? So basically it is audience first, then product. Mm-hmm. And so we're switching the entire model. And what I couldn't believe, Chris, is as we were going through and I was interviewing these, we ended up talking to dozens and dozens of companies all over the planet. And then we have about 50 plus case studies in the book. Everyone, and I mean everyone, followed the same model. Most of them lucked into it. Mm. But the same six steps were followed. And that's what blew me away. And what I love about the idea behind Content Inc. is, you know, it took me and Content Marketing Institute as an entrepreneur, it really took me scratching around about 3 years to really make it. But what I'm hoping for is, because we've distilled this into, hey, do these six steps. The multimillionaires from all over the world follow these same six steps. If you do that, I really believe that the people that read this can shorten their cycle. That it doesn't have to be 12 months, 15 months, 2 years. They could actually do it in less time because finally there's a guide that takes us through this. And hey, this is what you have to do. You know, go through these things. Make it happen, build your audience. And then what the most amazing thing is, once you build and you know this because you've done it. Once you build an audience that knows, likes, and trusts you, you can pretty much sell whatever you want.
Right.
And that's what we found in the book. And so long story short, passion project to, hey, this is really something. And now I'm just going around talking about it because I really think there's now a better way to start a business than what we see most startups and entrepreneurs do is fail, especially first-time entrepreneurs. On Startups says that the success rate for first-time entrepreneurs is 18%, which is miserable.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that this book will help.
I'm actually surprised it's that high, if I'm to be honest with you, because I mean, I work with entrepreneurs every day, right?
I actually thought the same thing as well. Actually, what's interesting, and I talk about this in my presentations, Y Combinator, who's one of the most successful accelerators mm-hmm. on the planet, you know, in San Francisco.
Yep.
Henry Blodgett said that Y Combinator's success rate with all the funding and all the support they get is less than 10%. Mm. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, they have everything you could possibly want and they're still only succeeding 10% of the time.
What does that tell you? Seriously, what does that tell you? I mean, things have to change, right? And this is my whole thing is that like the game has changed vastly. And I think the people that refuse to get involved with that, what I call the new media approach to building businesses, which, you know, encompasses dealing with coming up with content strategies, creating content on a consistent basis, getting it out there, getting it shared as well to have that viral effect and everything. Like, I work with people and even inside of the Upreneur mastermind community, we've actually discussed this very topic. What comes first, audience or product? There's a thread, a huge thread inside the private forums that people have been going backwards and forwards on for weeks now. And the overall mindset is to build an audience first. So it's only so backing true. Up exactly what you're talking about. So, I mean, let's do like a 10, 12 minute, because there's other stuff I want to talk to you about as well. But I'm really curious to know these six steps now.
Oh, you want me to go through it?
Yeah, can we do like a quick kind of ground level run through with the six steps?
Yeah, let me go through the six steps and just give you the overview, and then you'll know what the book's about. And when it arrives, you don't have to read it. here it is.
I love this. No, said like a
well,
true.
You're in the book. You're mentioned in the book, so you're going to have to at least look.
Oh, okay.
So I at least planted a Chris Ducker reference there.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the six steps. And so to just lay the groundwork here, when we reverse engineered every case study, we went on every successful multimillionaire that's out there that's built an amazing business from the ground up with little resources. They all did these same six steps. And that was the most amazing thing to me. So the first step is we have to recognize, find our sweet spot. So what is the sweet spot? Sweet spot is the intersection between something we're very passionate about as an entrepreneur and on the other side, something we have some knowledge or skill area in that's better than average, something that we have the authority to communicate on. What's important about, a lot of people challenge me on the passion part. And what I say to the reason why we found out that passion was so important is because in the beginning, success doesn't come right away. It takes time to build right. a loyal audience. So you need to have that passion and that will to get up every day, every week, every month, whatever the case is, and create that content. Because you don't have the passion, you end up stopping, like most people do.
Let me interject real quick then, because I mean, I'm all about passion. I'm a passionate guy. You know that. Not to the point where I'm going to wear full-blown orange suits, shoes, socks, and probably underwear. Let's not mess around on stage in front of thousands of people. But I am all about being passionate. But I also say that as an entrepreneur, you shouldn't go into a business based entirely on passion. Like you have to have what I like to call the primary profit mindset of eventually I will have to make money from this thing.
Yes.
Right. So I want to point that out. What do you think about that point?
I think that's, well, the thing is first of all, most individuals that we talk to, they have multiple passions. It's not like this is my one passion that I live for. That's not the case. It's the case that you have to be passionate enough about this concept to get up every day and create content. That's what you have to be.
Right.
Most people, if you, like when you do the we have an exercise in the book. So when you do the exercises, you have five or six or seven areas that you have a skill or a knowledge area on that's better than average, and you have five or six or seven passions. It's the intersection of those and find that's the sweet spot. So, I mean, I have many, orange is a passion of mine. You know, talking to startups and entrepreneurs is another passion. Teaching is a passion of mine. I have many different passions. You just have to tap into one of those. So, but I'm not one of those mm-hmm. guys that say, oh my gosh, you have to find the one ultimate passion and make a business out of it. I don't believe that. So I'm in total agreement with you.
Right. Okay, cool. Keep going then.
So the second point is the one that nobody does. And this goes for big businesses and small businesses and startups. And we call it the content tilt. The content tilt is finding that area of little to no content competition out there where you actually have a fighter's chance of surviving. So you have to take your sweet spot and then you add this content tilt that differentiates your story enough that you actually have a chance of it cutting through the clutter. As you know, and a lot of the entrepreneurs that you work with, they're creating content that's just like everything else out there. they're not differentiating themselves at all. So right. You have to find some area that you're actually telling a different story. This means that the people, the companies that we did research on, they picked a very small niche that they had an opportunity to dominate very quickly. And so that's what we call the content tilt, and that's the real differentiation point. Mm-hmm. So between the sweet spot and the content tilt, that's your strategy. We haven't even started creating content yet.
Love it.
So that's step one and step two. Step three is where you build the base. This is where you do the work, you create the content. And I love this model, Chris, because you're talking about new media and we've got to do things differently, and I completely agree with you. But the model we found is actually the oldest publishing model on the planet. Every one of the companies we talked to did the same thing. And so these same four things. The first thing is they focused on, for the most part, one content type as their core way to go to market. Is it textual content like articles? Is it video content? Is it audio content like a podcast?
Right.
So that was one. Then they picked the platform. Is it my blog or website? Is it iTunes? Is it YouTube? That's two. Three is they consistently delivered every day, three times a day, three times a week, consistently, right. It didn't matter what the velocity was. It was the consistency that mattered. And then the fourth thing is they did that over time, a significant period of time, usually over 12 months. That's it. It's the most unsophisticated model on the planet, but every one of the case studies we look at in the book did that same exact thing.
So interesting.
And what's amazing, Chris, look at every successful media company on the planet. They did the same thing.
Yeah.
Look at the Financial Times, look at the New York Times, look at ESPN. They all did the same thing. One content type, one picked one platform for the most part, consistently delivered over time. So that's building the base. Now you're doing the work, you're building the base. Fourth step is we got to harvest the audience. And I'll just say quickly about harvesting audiences, almost every one of the people focused on email as their core driver for the business.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, they're getting iTunes subscriptions. Yes, they're getting YouTube subscribers. Yes, they're getting people following them on Twitter, whatever the platform is that they chose. But ultimately, they were trying to convert as many times as possible into email because of the fact that we have no control over other social media outlets. We have the most control over email.
I mean, it's still king, isn't it? From a marketing perspective, it is. I made the mistake right out of the gate. It didn't take me too long to correct it. Only six, 8 weeks or so before enough people, you know, smacked me around the backside of my head and said, "What are you doing, you idiot?" But I made the mistake of starting my blog and my online content side of things without any opt-in forms. And I know there's many other people that have.
I did the same thing.
Yeah, there you go. And you're running the freaking Content Institute right now. I mean, come on, right?
It's my biggest regret in business. The first basically 18 months
I
was blogging. Oh. I know. I had no opt-in. I wasn't building an audience.
I feel good now. I feel good now. It only took me 6 weeks or so.
Oh, see, you're much smarter than I am. I mean, now we've got, I think you have a bigger audience than we do, but like now we've got 150,000 subscribers at Content Marketing Institute. But I'm just thinking, man, if I'd have had that 2-year head start.
Yeah, yeah, different ball game.
I'm not complaining.
So get back to it. Harvesting audience, email.
Harvesting the audience. So that's step four. Step now, once you've built the base, you have a minimum viable audience. And Brian Clark from Copyblogger talks about that all the time. Minimum viable audience. We're harvesting that audience, getting this email subscribers. Then we diversify. So what the companies out there that don't succeed do is they usually have an idea for content. They start telling their stories and they spread it all over everywhere. Oh, we're going to do Facebook. We're going to do Twitter. We're going to do a podcast. We're going to do white papers. We're going to do magazine. They do everything. That's a losing proposition. What you want to do is you want to build the base first, then diversify. So I'll give you an example for Content Marketing Institute. So we started, and I basically told you, we did a blog, just a blog for the first 3.5 years. That was it. Once we built enough of an audience there, then we diversified into the event, content marketing world, into the print magazine, chief content officer, into our podcast. We got two podcasts going right in our white page, on and on and on, right? So first you focus on really dominating one platform and then you diversify. And we've got great examples in the book talking about that. So and then the last step is monetization. Now, that's where, of course, that's the most important thing. You talked about it. We got to make money off of this thing.
Right,
we're not
right,
just
right.
in it to create content for the heck of it. We got to make money. Now, I will say this. Monetization is the sixth step. A smart entrepreneur from day one is thinking about how they make money. But you're not going to, it's not going to work in this model until you build a loyal audience. What we found is it takes, on average, if we look at all the case studies in the book, it takes on average about 15 to 17 months till the entrepreneur really starts to hit a home run with this. Now, my hope is if somebody follows this model, they can do it in a shorter period of time.
Right, right, but, of course.
But for the ones, for the happy accidents that we talk about in the book, and that's what it was for me too. I just sort of fell into this model, and now we've figured out that there's an actual formula for doing this. Monetization. So, I mean, you monetize a certain way. We monetize at Content Marketing Institute mostly through Content Marketing World. So events, that's our business model. If you look at, you know, Marcus Sheridan at River Pools and Spas, how did he do it? He did it by selling and installing more fiberglass pools.
Yep.
You know, if you look at Brian Clark at Copyblogger, how did he do it? He makes money by selling software as a service. He's got online software products, mostly search engine products and content management system products. So everyone does it in a different way. There's 9 different ways to make money off of your content. We talk about that in the book. But those are the 6 steps. And honestly, Chris, it just blew me away that everyone followed this model. And I almost feel like we tripped on this model and said, oh my gosh, this is it. This is maybe the better way that a small business or an entrepreneur that's looking to start a business can say, look, I don't have to go out and have the greatest idea in the world. I can go build the audience first who I'm trying to target. Mm-hmm. And that way you won't have to pivot, because what happens is, because you have an audience like this and you understand that audience better than anyone else. And Brian Clark said this the other day as I was talking to him, he said, you know what? Our audience just told us what they wanted. Yeah. They told us what that they would buy from us, and he went out and created it. And now he's got a super successful, fast growing business. And I think that's the greatest thing, because you understand that customer base, that future customer base, your audience, better than anyone else. And the companies that we talk about in the book, they grow much faster than normal companies because they already have a built-in customer database.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's always been, that's always been like a given for me. Like ever since I was on the phone as a sales kid at 17 years old, I was told, listen twice as much as you talk. A good sales guy will listen twice as much as he talks. Listen to
That's why
your...
you have one mouth and two ears.
Well, that's right. Exactly, right?
That's when I was in sales too.
There you go.
My first sales manager said, how many ears do you have? 2. What do you have? Okay, you want to listen more than you talk. Just shut up and listen to the customer.
Now, I mean, we're roughly both around the same age. So, you know, this, it could be an era thing, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that probably has been said in some way, shape, or form from sales mentors and managers to sales trainees and salesmen and ladies for way beyond our years.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So, absolutely. You know, some things never change. And I've been saying this for a long time when I've been presenting. You know, I've only started blogging, as you well know, beginning of 2010. And then, you know, 6 months later, a podcast comes along and so on and so on and so on. Yes, I've monetized my online platform, but I didn't even attempt to monetize it until a year and a half in. So what you're just saying right now in regards to the Content Inc. model, it's bang on the money. Like it couldn't be any true.
You have the exact same model. But what's amazing is, and you're talking about the other, most of the companies out there, you know how it works, right? I was the same way when I started the business in 2007. Mm. I've got this most amazing idea and this product that we're going to launch. It's going to change the face of the world. And then you go out for 2 years and you realize it's an utter failure.
Right. Nobody wants it.
Because you're focusing on the product and not on the needs of the audience.
Exactly.
And that's where, I mean, look at everything that's going on in Silicon Valley right now and all the funding. It's all done around, how can we make another Facebook? How can we make another Instagram? And I feel really bad for a lot of these startups that they're getting a lot of money, so I can't feel too bad about it. But most of them fail.
Right.
Most of them are going to fail. And I don't even know what that culture is going to do in San Francisco right now, where you have so many startups doing the same model. And if you look at the success rate, look at Henry Blodgett, what he said, it's 10%. That we have to do better than that. And I think that it's just a smarter way to go if you just say, hey, let's just build an audience first and then we can sell whatever we want.
So let me then pry into things a little bit at Content Institute. Give us your content strategy right now. I mean, big company, event company, got the magazine, like you said, shows, all the rest of it. But What is your focus then in terms of building your business and monetizing your audience? What do you do? What is your content strategy as a company nowadays? Because obviously things have changed a lot since we spoke, you know, a year and a half ago or whatever it was, and things will continue to evolve and kind of churn and change. So what are you currently doing that's working well?
Absolutely. So we're a business media model. So it's like a media company. So we actually sell events. We have sponsors. 50% of the revenue that we bring into the company is somebody paying for content in some way. Most of that's through an event. The other 50% is somebody sponsoring to get in front of our audience. So they're advertising. So that's kind of how we split up our revenues. Mm-hmm. Now, the way that we go to market, and this is what we've been doing for probably the past 2 years now. It's worked really, really well, but we have the data now to show us. So when somebody signs up for our e-newsletter, that's step one. We don't want to sell them anything at this point because they're new to us. They're just starting to receive our newsletter. We need to build a relationship with them. What the data tells us is that we want them to sign up for at least three things. So we want them to sign up for the newsletter, then hopefully they'll sign up for Chief Content Officer Magazine. Maybe they'll sign up for a webinar. Maybe they'll subscribe to a podcast, whatever the case is. Our magic number for Content Marketing Institute is three. Why three? Because what the data tells us is that those customers or those readers of ours that are subscribed to three different things, at least three, doesn't matter which three, just at least three, they are so much more likely to pay for something and go to something like Content Marketing World than if somebody's just signed up for one or two.
Mm.
So that's huge for us. So we all know that in the company. So basically, we don't want to pitch anybody that's subscribed to one or two things. We want to wrap them, like we want to be like an octopus, right? We want to wrap them in so much content love and build a relationship with them over time that they're ultimately going to buy from us because they know, like, and trust us so much. That's what moves the business. The biggest thing we do, half of our business is Content Marketing World. So we had 3,500 registrants from 53 countries, delegates from 53 countries coming into Cleveland this year.
53, holy cow.
That took
a jump from when I spoke in 2014.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think when you were there, I think it was around 33 or 34.
Wow.
So we had 53 this year, and we had over 110 sponsors for the event too. So it's the biggest content marketing event in the industry, but I mean, we hopefully will keep that status for as long as we possibly can.
Now I have a question, and
sure.
And you gotta answer this just for me. Forget about everybody else tuning in.
Okay,
right now.
Nobody else is listening. This is just you, right?
I need to know things like this. I'm this kind of guy. So
right.
You come out to open up the show, and you are dressed in an orange suit and, like I said, orange socks, orange shoes. You look amazing. I need to know, after the show's done, does that suit get installed in some kind of like Mission Impossible airtight container with... Like, what happens to the suit, man, when you're not on stage and you know you've got to keep it in good nick and all the rest of it? Like, what happens to the suit?
It's nothing fancy. It goes to the dry cleaner. So because first I want to make sure it's clean before
yes.
I go and store it. And then I have it stored in a nice package. It's not like a bulletproof glass or anything.
You're trying to make this sound better.
It's not like on display at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or anything like that. But it is in a mostly airtight area where it's taken well, you know, taken care of.
No arm guards.
I don't have insurance on it or anything,
okay.
But I almost
right.
feel like I should.
Right.
But
it was tailored, right? You didn't buy it off
yeah,
the peps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I mean, you know that you and I have talked about as much speaking as you and I both do, because we speak all over the world on this stuff. About 3.5 years ago, I found a wonderful tailor in Cleveland, Ohio, and measured, I think, something like 57 different measurements on me. So when I need a shirt, he basically sends me pictures of, Joe, we got this new material in. What do
right.
you think? And I
right.
say, give me a shirt. I want that.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the way that I want it. And I've got a certain thing with the collar that I want done. And it's just, and by the way, one of the best investments I've ever made, because it matters when, I mean, as many people that take pictures, and of course the orange goes around, and the orange is a thing, and people send me something orange in the mail, usually at least once a week. Mm-hmm. I got an orange Buddha the other day in the mail, which was nice. It's sitting over on my ledge.
There you go.
It's cool. And I think I can't quantify the clothing. I can't quantify my existence as one with the color orange in dollars. But I really do believe from the bottom of my heart that because I've been able to differentiate myself and then as well the brand, the business, I feel it's led to more revenue because people think about, oh, they see orange and like, oh, Content Marketing Institute or right. Oh, Joe.
Right.
And it helps.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, and I'm, as you know, I'm a proud Brit and, you know, here I work out of my home office 90% of the time. So I started probably 4 or 5 years or so ago, somebody gave me an old, you know, London telephone box model that was made out of like tin and iron. It was really cool. It was hand painted and all the rest. And I was like, that's cool. And then I was over in London. And I saw something similar, which was a double decker London bus. So I was like, oh, that would look cool with my telephone box in the office at home. So I bought it and I stick it in the suitcase and bring it home. And now people just send me stuff with the Union Jack on it. So I've got pillows. I've got cushions. I'm looking around my room right now. Oh, my wife bought an amazing old school telephone. Remember the old school telephone?
Sure.
You had to like do yourself an injury just to dial 4 digits, you know, and your wrist would hurt at the end of it. She bought me one. I mean, this thing belongs in an Austin Powers movie. Literally, it's that cool. And then for my birthday this year, she ended up getting me a mini Smeg fridge for the office. So I've got a couple of bottles of beer, some water, and a few other bits and pieces in the fridge here in the office. It's sweet. But one of the best gifts I've been given for Union, anything with a Union Jack on it, I had a Union Jack teapot hand given to me at an event in London a few weeks ago when I was there. And we're talking like it's a real teapot, like it works. And it's just one big wraparound Union Jack. It's awesome. So
how are you going to parlay that into your speaking attire? I mean, that's what I want to.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, hey, I will custom a Union Jack. I mean, that,
yes.
You'll see Chris Ducker walking down the corridor, won't you? If you have any questions after his session, right?
You could see you coming.
That's not a bad idea. No, that's a good idea, Joe. I'll get at least a jacket done. I'm not getting the bloody slacks done as well. That's ridiculous.
It was so funny. When I was speaking at Social Media Marketing World, Brian Carter was there, mm-hmm. and he was dressed in all orange. And I didn't know Brian that much at that time. Now I know him really well. And he sent me a note afterwards, and he said, "Joe, I didn't know orange was your thing." I spoke at the event, and like 10 people came up to me and said, "Do you know you're wearing Joe's color?" He says, "I didn't know you owned it. I'm sorry."
Yeah, it's like you've copyrighted the color orange, right? I love it.
I just thought that was – I got a kick out of that.
That's great. So, look, as we go into our last few minutes with each other, there's one thing I want to bring up with you, actually. It's a hot topic right now, and a lot of people are talking about it in terms of, is it content? Is it not content? Do you jump on board? Do you not jump on board? What's your take on this live streaming revolution that has been happening over the last 6 to 8 months or so? Meerkat, Periscope, Blab, mentions on Facebook. What's your take on this whole thing?
You know, I don't use them.
I've
used a little bit of Periscope. That's it.
Okay. All right.
So here's my take on it. And I know a lot. I know a lot of my friends that are doing the Blab thing, which is fine. And they're experimenting it with it, and that's great. My take is, and I go back to the model. Now, if you're going to do that, I think you need to do something consistently and set an ongoing appointment with your customers. I don't think you can just say, hey, here I am, it's Tuesday, and then you do another one in 2 weeks or another one in 3 weeks. That model does not work. It hasn't worked since the dawn of time, and it will continue not to work. Now, if you said, hey, we're going to do a Blab thing. We're going to be talking about this. This is our content niche. Here's how we tell a differentiated story. And we're going to do it every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Great. I'm all for it. It's just another way to communicate, just like with we're doing on the podcast here, just like with a print magazine.
Right.
It's just one other way. So I would just say I'm all for that kind of thing. But to be honest with you, Chris, I think it's a distraction at this point until you get enough people that are going to engage in it where I can actually look at opportunities to monetize. I'm going to let all the other people in the world go and do that and try it out. Let me know. Like, I haven't even gotten on Snapchat yet. Because
I've not bothered with it either.
And I'm not convinced. Yeah. See, here's the thing. So the average enterprise right now engages in 13 different ways they communicate with their customers. Facebook, Twitter, webinars, e-newsletters, whatever. That's probably too many. Probably we would be better off to focus on, hey, let's listen on a lot of these, but let's focus on being really good at two or three. So if you just want to do it, if you're an entrepreneur and you just want to try it out because you're a first mover, if early adopter, and you want to try it out, great. Go ahead and do that. My take is, you know what, where are your customers at? How can you best tell the story? What makes the most sense to get subscribers? Those types of things that I'm going to look at. And until something like a Blab or a Meerkat or a Periscope prove themselves, I stay as far away as I can.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I was interested to get you on, quote unquote, the record in regards to that, because I have been using Periscope and I have had great, great success with it. But I want to clarify and back up your comment on this. And that is, I have been, or rather, should I say, I was up until around about a month ago, where I've taken a bit of a break on it now. But I was on Periscope 10 a.m. every morning, Monday to Friday, for 30 minutes. And I went from zero followers to now over 11,000 followers in 8 weeks. So I want to...
It's the consistency.
It's the consistency, plain and simple. I'm now actually getting emails and tweets from people saying, Chris, what's going on? Where's hashtag Duckerscope? Where is this? Like, what's happened? And it's been a combination of me traveling like a madman and then also getting a throat infection that I'm just getting over now. So I'm hoping to be able to get stuck in and start working on it again. But I also want to clarify and bring up the fact that the last real big push, and this is purely coincidence, the last big push I did on Periscope was just before we launched youpreneur.com, the community. And we did a live virtual tour. Now, understand, this is perfect way to wrap up this call because it shows exactly what you've been talking about as being bang on the money. We talk about build the audience first, do everything else, and then monetize at the end. We were building that audience exclusively on Periscope for 8 weeks. And then I did a virtual tour of the inside of youpreneur.com. And in 45 minutes, right there on the call, no one else knew that I was doing it except for the people on that call, on that broadcast. Right there, we had 83 people sign up at $49 a pop per month recurring right there. So it just goes to show you that, you know, you can actually speed up that 18-month platform build out and monetization model if you are very consistent and are very, very focused on one particular medium as well, which is obviously what you've been talking about too.
I love that example. But the thing is right now, you're not starting the Content Inc. model from scratch. You're in diversification mode.
Correct.
Because you already have an audience.
Yes.
So that initiative is part of your fifth step because you're way advanced in this whole thing and you already have gone through multiple levels of monetization. So
true.
So but would somebody start off with that model? It'd be very tough.
Well, I don't
somebody
know.
To have an audience.
I'm not
but
sure.
But you did it brilliantly because that's the way you're setting the expectation. And then once you get them, and that's the whole thing about it. If you get them to know, like, and trust you, they'll end up buying from you.
Yeah, but here's
the thing.
And now
you have enough just from that call to buy your custom suit now.
Yes, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. It's on order, currently on order for my man in Bangkok. No, I mean,
I love it.
I agree with you, but I'm going to disagree a little bit because I didn't have, like, there was zero people following me on Periscope. I started Periscoping. Yes, I have a little bit of a name and everything. I get that. But, like, it's not like I emailed my list about me being on Periscope. I think, yeah, you're probably right to a certain degree.
How did they initially find out? How did people initially find out that you were doing?
Dude, you start going live. You start going live, and then people start sharing it on Periscope and Twitter.
So the people that... Your Periscope audience is completely different than your other audience? I mean, obviously, or is there an overlap?
No, obviously there's an overlap. There is. Okay. However, I will say for the first month, for sure, I would say 80% of the people watching me on Periscope have never heard about me or from me before. And then obviously my normal community sort of starts catching up and seeing what's going on as well. Bear in mind, you know, this is a few months ago where Periscope was only like 3 months old, 4 months old. I mean, it's only 6 or 7 months old now. So, you know, I understand and I agree with you to a certain degree. And I think I did have a little bit of a leg up because of the platform that I already have. But I think that anybody that's got a little bit of a personality, and that's key right there with something like live streaming.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? Because you can't be boring. You can be so knowledgeable. You can be so smart. You can drop value bombs at great heights on a blog or maybe even on a podcast. But unless you can physically be in front of that camera for 15, 20 minutes minimum and continually keep people engaged, forget about live streaming. You're going to look like a jackass and you should just stay away from it.
I see it. I don't think you give yourself enough credit. I think what happened is that everyone that was on Periscope at that time saw, oh my God, Chris Ducker's on, and they just stopped everything what they were doing and they went to your thing. I mean, it's just,
you're probably
your
right.
Name is infamous, my friend.
You're probably right. Oh dear. I'm not gonna argue with you. All right, everybody, Joe Polizzi has been in the house dropping value bombs of his own, as you well know. I would love for you to hop over and check out, obviously, the new book on Amazon. I'll have show notes over at, let me get the correct episode number, chrisducker.com/episode138. Exactly 99 episodes ago, you graced us for the first time here. Let's not wait 99 episodes. Let's break the model. Let's bring you back again sooner. What do you think about that?
Well, I'll take another 99, but if you want to split that in half, we'll do like
there we go. 40. We'll do
50 or something.
We'll do one
like
every
that.
Nine
That'd
months. We'll do one every 9 months instead.
Hey, okay. Anytime you call me, I'm on. You know that.
I love it. Everybody, Content Inc., the new book, grab it on Amazon. Hop over to joepolizzi.com, see what he's all about. Obviously, you've then got his fantastic blog over at contentmarketinginstitute.com as well. Joe, always a pleasure, my friend. It was great to hang out with you.
Oh, it's always a fun time, Chris. Thanks, man.
All right. For you guys tuning in, make sure you are here with us again next Tuesday. We've got a solo show coming up that's going to rock your world so hard, then you're going to think you're actually in a Michael Jackson video. I'll see you next Tuesday. Bye for now.
It's the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business,
as well as rub shoulders,
gain support,
have access to immediate feedback,
as well as nonstop accountability from your peers,
is something that excites you. Then visit youpreneur.com for more information
and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of
today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you
on the inside.